wasn't that long ago that, man, on this very radio show, we were having discussions about the rhetoric going back and forth seemingly between the PA and the league and wondering whether we were going to get here. I wonder about you, your interpretation of that news cycle. Did you ever have doubts that we would see today, opening day of the season?
Oh, if you're talking about the last several months, the answer is no. If you're talking about going back all the way to last spring, sure. From the vantage point of last spring, we had literally no idea what the future was going to bring. But by the time we got through the summer, got the agreements done, proved we could play even if it was in a bubble in a relatively easier situation than now, and seen what's happened in the other leagues, I was pretty sure that sooner or later we'd figure it out.
Okay, so talking about what's happening in the other leagues, the NBA has had just an incredibly difficult start. They've had a lot of guys test positive. They've had games delayed. And we look at this schedule where the NHL is playing basically 3.5 games per week. There's a ton of stuff packed in. Have you heard more from players seeing what's been happening in the NBA? Has this changed people's outlook at all? Is there more optimism because the NHL has had opportunity to learn from it? Like, what has it been like watching another league start this up and see them have these delays and see them have the issues that they've come across already?
Well, when you're sitting at home and you're watching TV and listening to the news and figuring out what the new rules are going to be and trying to watch what other sports are going on your television and so on, everybody thinks about those things. Players think about those things. Certainly their families do. But I think that two attributes are really there. First of all, they really paid attention last summer to what the rules were, what the protocols were. People were really responsible. And I think everybody understands that we're going to have to be really responsible again because it's going to be harder. We're not dealing with 24 teams. We're dealing with 31. We're dealing with 20-something different cities. We are dealing with some travel, limited to an extent compared to what it normally would be, but still travel. And so people are aware, and I think will be really responsible. Secondly, I think people understand that given all of the moving parts this year, you're likely to have some issues to manage. And they'll have to be managed as best we can. The object is to minimize them, cope with them, and go on. And I think guys are determined to make sure that it works, and hopefully we'll be able to give the fans a really great season.
Yeah, and we're getting a sample of that right out of the gates. 17 Dallas Stars players test positive. Their start to the season being delayed, and unlike the NBA, it seems that there's no hard and fast rules about when a team can resume to play. How will we know that a team has overcome those issues or their roster is managed enough that they can resume playing?
When the doctors tell us. It's really just that simple. We have expert epidemiologists on our staff, people working with us. The league does. The team has their own individual physicians. They're looking at the situation. They look at the testing data. You do the contract tracing. You figure out where it came from. And you listen to the experts. You know, that's what all any of us can do, and that's what we're going to be prepared to do. The Dallas situation is a tough one, obviously, and it's going to have to be managed, but hopefully it is and will remain a relatively isolated phenomenon.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying when you're talking about listening to the doctors and the medical professionals, when you're talking about individual players who have tested positive and returning. I guess what I'm curious about is the actual roster construction. If those players are ruled out, how many players do you need to be able to ice for it to be fair for competitive balance? Those type of reasons.
Well, we'll have, obviously we have the taxi squads, and this is a bit of a strained analogy, but if we have a series of what amounts to short-term disabilities or short-term injuries, you cope just like you do during a normal season. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be people that question it. People are going to say, but if they'd only had Joe or Sam or Fred available or something like that, things might have been different. Well, that's maybe true, but we're going to do the best we can. I think on the overall situation, it's going to be really good, and you're going to see some really great hockey.
Yeah, and I think that most people have come around to that and that we've had enough sport now being played in the pandemic, and we saw it with baseball being the first North American sport where there was travel, and we're seeing it now with the NBA, that yes, don't let perfection be the enemy of good. Get this in, entertain people, and I believe the players, we've talked to players that have told us, like, you know, we talked to Nick Foligno last week, and this is a guy who clearly has an added import as a captain and has talked about wanting to keep his team on track and wanting to be responsible. Obviously, the leagues want people to be responsible. There are protocols in place. They are going to do their best, and maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves here. But there was always talk about what was going to happen with vaccines. And Gary Bettman has addressed them saying, hey, listen, the players are going to get aligned with everybody else. But so far, what we've speculated about is the idea of, listen, these are professional athletes who monitor what goes into their body down to, yeah, the picogram, right? They want to make sure that everything is in order and that they're not doing anything risque. Have you heard at all any pushback about players or their fears of having to take a vaccine? Do you think that this could become a bigger story as the year goes on, either unwillingness or total buy-in from the players to take this?
I think it's unlikely. I suspect that as the vaccine rolls out, if there are problems or health risks caused by the vaccines, and we haven't seen any of that yet, if there are, that'll become known and people will adjust to it. If there aren't, which is what the expectation is, I think the overwhelming majority of people will be willing to do it and happy to do it. And I suspect that as it plays out, players will prove to be no different than the general population in that regard. You know, I talk about professional athletes. People ask me what makes them different. And there are a number of things, but, you know, sort of demographically, they're young, they're male, and they're athletically gifted. Beyond that, they break down just like the general population, which is what you would expect.
Talking to Donald Fehr, executive director of the NHL Players Association. So, yeah, we're buckling in for a different season, one that is highly anticipated on this side of the border. Donald, we're really excited to see.
I've heard that. That's the rumor, yeah.
Yeah, and it starts tonight with one of the best rivalries in sports. It's the Leafs and the Canadiens. Yeah, we're excited about it. Also, for as just straight up employees of Sportsnet who have the national rights for these games, really feels like the rest of this country is going to buy into this thing in a big way. And we know it's a weird season, but I think there's a possibility that we could have big ratings, big demand for this. And of course, there's it's likely that we don't see fans in the stands all season long. But, you know, more eyeballs, bigger ratings, more money infused into the league is better for all the players. Has your constituency given you any indication about, you know, the appetite for this going forward? Have you thought about that, about this being a longer-term thing than just a one-season one-off for the North Division?
So far, there's been no real thought about it on any organized basis, certainly no discussion with the NHL about it and so on. And a lot of the history of the NHL involves rivalries, as you know, which are cross-border. So that would be a big lift if we ever got to that point. That said, however we got here, and it's sad that we are, but however we got here, it's a unique opportunity to see some repeated matchups. And my guess is, given the frequency with which they're going to play one another, you're going to see some really intense games. And that's going to be good for everybody. Like we do after any season, people will sit down and review and look at it. But I think the expectation is that we'll go back to a much more traditional, if not the traditional, setup next year. But we'll see. And I certainly hope you're right about the kind of attention and interest this will spark.
Yeah, and it would be good if it did infuse a little more money into the league, because, I mean, Gary Bettman talked about it being maybe more financially beneficial from the owner's perspective to not even play this season. He also talked about losses being in the billions. How soon do you think this league can get back on track financially? If we are projecting, yeah, this pandemic to end before the fall?
I'm not going to comment about those things attributed to Gary. That's his business to discuss, and I'll leave that to him. All I can say is that, if the vaccine rollout works, if we get back to the point where it's obvious we can have fans, and fans begin to come back, then I think we'll revert to normal very, very quickly. With a renewed appetite to do it. You know, the history of teams, professional sports in North America is that if there's an interruption, if there's a problem, if there's an issue, when things return to normal, the interest is, at least for a while, hyped. It's increased because people have a thirst for it. Sports matter. People identify with the players. They identify with the teams. It provides a source of unification of feeling for cities. So I'm hopeful that by the time we talk a year from now, if we do, people are going to say, all right, we've had several months of the 21-22 season and things look really good.
You know what, that's an interesting point you bring up because, yeah, you're working for the players and you're trying to make them every dollar possible, and you're obviously you've been pretty successful at that. But how much of your conversations and your work has been motivated also by that fact that there is a kind of a greater good here, like we all need this distraction? How much have you thought about that while you're going through all this, the process of getting us to this point?
Well, you sort of have two mindsets when you're doing this. One is you're talking to somebody, you're working on a problem, you're reading a memo, and you're focused on the specific items that are discussed in one of those contexts. The other one is, you know, if you take a walk, you get up in the morning before you go to bed, there's an inevitable tendency to reflect. And I guess for me, what makes this different in a day-by-day work sense, work meaning for staff, not obviously for players, is that you're trying to do something in which the fundamental issue with which you are grappling is not something within your control. In any sort of a normal labor dispute, no matter what the circumstances are, you can always make a deal. Maybe it's a deal you don't like, maybe it's a deal everybody likes, but you can always make a deal and end the problem. We can't do that here. In this case, the NHL is just like everybody else, and it makes things more difficult to deal with, less certain than they otherwise would have been, and more subject to change. And this is, I was about to say, it's new and it's different for me in my career, and I've been doing this over 40 years now, but it's new and different for everyone, not just me.